Happy 2020 to everybody. Nice to see you out today at Impact Church for our very first service for 2020. Are you glad you made it? Who's glad they made it? 2020. Unbelievable. Can you remember when we were all panicking about the entering into the Y2K thing? And that just seems like eons ago now. 20 years ago. You know, you were only 30 years off 2050. It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy how fast time is going. We're going to keep it nice and light today because it's just what you got to do during the start of a new year when we're all still trying to recover from Christmas. Did you have a nice Christmas? Did you enjoy that with your family, your friends, and some good food? And that's just a good time. Wonderful time of the year is what they say. My name's Tony, by the way, if you're a new person today, and I'm just going to talk for a little while. I'll try and make it little, and we'll have a good time together before we conclude our service this morning. We're going to talk about a new series of sermons we're starting today and a series of conversations. It's called Make It Fun. Turn to your neighbour and say, make it fun. Make it fun. You know, I decided for 2020 that I need a little bit more fun in my world and a little bit more fun in my life. It's not a midlife crisis, it's just a crisis. It just happens. It's kind of an all life crisis, not a midlife crisis, where we need to introduce new levels of fun into our world and not be so serious. Would you turn to your neighbour and say, don't be so serious? Why so serious? Why so serious? And it's kind of like hitting 2020 with everything that's happening around our nation at the moment and, you know, just the seriousness of life. For me, the seriousness of the nature of what I do as a church leader and you know, the heaviness and burdensomeness of what I deal with, I just sort of ended 2020 thinking, you know what, I just need some more fun, is what I need in my world. So I went out on Saturday and I bought a new car. And it's an old car. It's not a new car. It's an old car. It's 16 years old. I still got my Nissan Patrol, which I drive. I love driving. That's a truck. You know, that's a real man's car. And I enjoy driving it. I sit up high. I can see everything coming. Well, I bought a Mini Cooper S. And I took my time buying it because I wanted to buy one that had no damage, no accidents and all that sort of thing. And you never guess what happened. I bought it yesterday and I'm on my way to church this morning and bang, put a hole in the thing. Day one, 1 kilometer from my house, hit a kangaroo. Just crunch. So, dead kangaroo, hole in car. And so the car's sitting at home. I just turned around, went straight home, parked it, said to Cheryl, had an accident, jumped in the patrol, came to church to preach. And look what I'm preaching on. Make it fun. Like, seriously. You know where my head is right now? You know when you buy something new and it's damaged? It's like my head's there. I'm at home working on it right now. I'm stripping it apart. It's kind of superficial damage. It's a bumper bar. It's a guard. It's probably an engine. And I don't know. It's like, seriously. And I'm not sure my insurance company's going to cover it because I took out the insurance cover yesterday afternoon and it's one of those deals where you've got to upload the photos to prove there's no damage to the car and upload your driving history of insurance. And I couldn't do that from my place because of the signal and needed the documentation that was at my office. And so on my way into church this morning to arrange all that and bang. So I'm going home. Not a good start. Make it fun. Turn to your neighbor and say, make it fun. Make it fun. Make it fun. Oh, what a good deal. Ecclesiastes. Let me take you to a book in the Bible I don't often preach from. Nobody really does often preach from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's one of those bizarre books. There's several bizarre books in the Bible that you need to understand the nature of what the book is about, what's going on. It's what they call a poetical book. It's written by Solomon, one of the kings, and said to be the wisest man in all the world. If you read this writing, you might not think that in some sections, because in some sections in the writings of Ecclesiastes, it appears like Solomon is far from God, and some would say he's backslidden and way away from God when he wrote some of the stuff, and then towards the end of it, he comes back to the Lord with his thoughts. And here in Ecclesiastes 8:15, I want to highlight this verse. It says, "So I recommend having fun." Turn to your neighbor and just look at him for a moment. "I recommend having fun, for there's nothing better for people in the world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. Nothing better for people in this world, you're going to be glad you came to church today, than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way they will experience some happiness if they buy a Mini Cooper S, along with all the hard work that God gives them under the sun. How many people in 2020 would like to have a little bit more joy in your world? Come on, put up your hand today. Make a declaration today. Shout out at me. I need a little bit more joy. Come on. We need a little bit more joy for 2020. How many of you want to keep the joy factor up? Come on. We want to joy up. We want to joy up this new year, this new decade. And so I'm asking myself the question, how do I keep my mind in the right frame? How do I keep my mind in the right frame to keep my joy on, to keep my joy up, to have a little bit more fun in my world and in my life? How do I keep myself in the right place emotionally, spiritually, physically, so that I can have the fun that literally, by the way, God intends me to have? God wants me to have fun. God believes in fun. God loves in fun. God's a fun God. He's not perceived that way by many people. He's not understood that way, but God is a fun God. And I think it all starts with understanding and believing in the fact and the point that this is Bible. This is Bible. And that God wants us to have fun. God loves fun and God endorses a life of fun. So my recommendation for every one of us is this, that we need to embrace a life of joy. Embrace a life of joy. Get more intentional about doing the life and the journey to have an experience of joy. I want you to notice the Bible doesn't say fun is the only thing that's important. It doesn't say that it's the only thing that matters. It's not about just having fun, fun, fun. It says have fun while we do the hard work. Everyone say hard work? The hard work. The hard work that God gives us to do. God gives us work. He gives us toil. He gives us labor. He gives us responsibility. He gives us issues to deal with and problems to work through, valleys to travel through. We've got all these circumstances that we've got to sort out in our world and in our lives. And that's hard work. But while we're doing the hard work, it's like God saying, don't forget to have some fun. Have some fun while you're doing the hard work that God has given you. Do the hard work of serving others. You know, serving others is hard work. Sometimes coming to church is hard work, along with everything else that you have to do and that you're responsible for in life. Sometimes it's hard work. And so in all of the hard work, Solomon's saying, make sure you have some fun along the way. So I've got some simple thoughts today I want to introduce to us as we start this conversation about making it fun. My first thought is this, is fun must be intentional. Fun must be intentional. In other words, fun needs to be planned. It needs to be planned. Now, I know there's fun. There's a big difference between fun that happens to you and fun that happens through you. Fun that happens to you is random. It's has a sense of spontaneity to it. It kind of happens with the people around your world. Something funny happens and it's fun and you enjoy that moment. Fun that happens to you is fun that other people bring to your world. And I'm really blessed. I'm really fortunate in that I have a lot of fun people around me and they create a lot of fun for me. But it's not fun that I create. It's fun that I enjoy. And I love that. I need that. I need people to bring the fun factor to my world. I have pastors on my staff that are titled our fun pastors. That's who they are. That's what they do. That's what they're responsible for. They're responsible to bring fun to my world, to our world as a church. It's who they are by nature. And with our team, and we talk about this as a team, to lift the levels of fun in terms of what we do. That's fun that happens to you. The problem with fun that happens to you as opposed to fun that happens through you is fun that happens to you is the responsibility of everybody else. Yeah. It's everybody else's responsibility to make me feel good. Everybody else's responsibility to make sure I have fun. But the truth is, nobody else is responsible for your fun but you. Nobody else is responsible for your fun but you. You are personally responsible for your own emotional state, your own sense of well-being, your own sense of enjoyment, your own sense of participation in terms of how you enjoy and respond to the journey of life. So fun is personal. My fun, my responsibility. My fun is my responsibility. Then there's a fun that happens through you. This is the one I want to talk about. This is intentional fun. This is fun that you plan to have. This is fun where you go out on a Saturday and you buy a Mini Cooper S so that you can just have a little bit of fun and then crash it on Sunday. That's intentional, not the crashing part, but that's an intentional sense of fun to be had. Now, fun through you does not happen unless we're intentional about making it fun. And here's the big thought. If you want to live a life of fun and enjoyment and a life of joy, then you need to make it intentional. You need to make it intentional to make it fun. You need to put your fun face on. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you right now. But you need to put your fun face on. Your fun face. Your fun face. You need to put your fun face on. You know, the truth is, the most meaningful things in life are not fun unless you make them fun. The most meaningful things in life are not fun unless you make them fun. I've discovered that work is not always fun. It's not always fun. Doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter what your job is, your career, your business, your responsibility, it's not always fun. There's a lot of days where it is and you're really loving it and you're enjoying it and you're living the dream. And then there's other days it's like, really? Seriously? Is this what I've got to do until I'm 67 years of age? Is this as good as it gets? Is this my experience and journey in life? Is this what it's all about? It doesn't matter what you do, you can make it fun. It doesn't matter what you do, you can make it fun. It doesn't matter what your area of responsibility, where you work, what your job is, what your business is, who you work with, you can make it fun if you decide to make it fun. But there will be days of drudgery, there will be days of boredom, there will be days where it is a burden. Education is not always fun. Some days at school I remember they were a lot of fun, but there were other days that weren't much fun at all. University at times is a lot of fun, Josh, but there's other times, Josh has just registered and entered the university, that there's times when it won't be fun. There'll be times and days where it won't be as much fun as it was the first day that you started. Study's not always fun. Giving, as we just gave before, sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it doesn't feel like fun to give. And it's something we need to become very intentional about, because the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. A giver that sees it as fun. Not a giver as sees it, what, I have to? No, I get to. I get to give. I get the opportunity to participate and bless God, bless His church, and to bless other people. Sometimes coming to church can be tiresome. I know, because I'm the pastor. It's tiresome sometimes, isn't it? Who said that? Denley, you're a little bit too vocal right then. Sometimes it's tiresome coming to church. Sometimes it is. It's tiresome coming to church. I get that. I get that. And I've been your pastor for 10 years this year. And I know sometimes it can be tiresome. And just as you get tired, I get tired. Because this is my workplace. It's my workspace. It's my happy place most days. But there are days when it's not happy. Like today, when I broke my car. I can't believe how devastated I am over that bumper. Unbelievable. That poor kangaroo. You know, all these good, meaningful, valuable things that we have in our world and in our lives, you're going to do them anyway. You may as well enjoy it. You're going to have the journey. You're going to carry the weight. You're going to carry the responsibility. You're going to go through the drudgery. You are going to do the hard work that God has assigned you to do. So if you're going to do it, you must put your fun face on and enjoying what you do and enjoy the journey. If you're intentional to have fun, you'll experience some happiness, is what Solomon says, along with the hard work that God has given you to do. You know, my job's a hard job some days. It really is. Some days it's not pleasant with some of the things I deal with and the conversations I have and heartache that we face in terms of what we do. You see me on a Sunday. It's my fun day. This is as fun as it gets, people. It's my fun day. It's not always fun. It's not always pleasant. And so today, as I approach this series of sermons, I'm preaching to myself, and I can tell you, my team are taking notes for me because they're going to throw this back in my face all year long. And they're going to say to me, why are you so serious? Why so serious? Don't be so serious, Tony. Lighten up and have some fun. Fun that happens to you, but fun also that happens through you. I've got another thought which might be a strange thought to you and a foreign thought, and it's this. Fun is actually spiritual. Fun is spiritual. It's spiritual to have fun. That thought can confuse some people because they see and understand fun to be carnal and fun to be secular. Fun is something that we don't do in church. You don't come to church to have fun. You don't become a Christian to have fun. There's no fun in it. It's not about fun. But the truth is, God believes in fun. And God called us to have an abundant life. An abundant life. A life to the full. Some see fun as trivial. Some see it as flippant. Some religious people would think that there's nothing spiritual at all about fun. Now, when I say fun is spiritual, I say it's spiritual because what I mean is I can't physically deliver you a box of fun. I can't do that. So it's spiritual. It's something that's abstract. It's something that's out there, that's separate from the material realm that we often deal with. You can't order fun from anybody. Money can't get you fun. It can help. It can help you buy a Mini Cooper S. It can help to... have a little bit of fun. But fun is not physical. Fun is spiritual. And maybe even when I announced my sermon series this morning, some of you are sitting there and thinking, I can't believe this. Here we are in church, he's talking about fun. And Pastor, come on, I've got some serious issues I'm dealing with in my life. You know, if you only knew what I got going on around my... And I know we do. I know, look, we all got issues. Turn to your neighbor and say, yeah. Just shake your head. Yeah. Yeah. Your issues... We've all got stuff going on, but I want to plead with you, don't underestimate the power and the spiritual nature of just introducing a little bit of joy and a little bit of fun, a little bit of laughter into your world and into your life, because fun is food for the soul. It's food for the soul, it's fuel for your spirit, and it's actually fuel for your body. This is what the Bible says, Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart. We used to sing it many eons ago in church, a merry heart does good like a medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. You know, fun, laughter and joy will help you navigate the serious, grieving seasons of life. They'll help you transition into new seasons, brighter seasons, and new beginnings. Fun, laughter, and joy. Fun is good medicine for your soul. A good belly laugh is good for your belly. It's good for your heart. It's good for your soul. It's good for your mind. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your emotional state of being. Fun is the best remedy for loss, one of the great remedies for grief and sorrow. Fun is one of the best remedies for heartache and hopelessness. It's one of the best things to have in place to help you come back from a setback, is to introduce a little bit of fun and laughter and lightness in your life, because life is heavy, life is hard. Joy, what it does is it lifts heaviness off our spirit. This is what the prophet Isaiah said hundreds of years before Jesus came. He said, to all who mourn in Israel, God will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, and festive praise instead of despair. I've decided that I want to have some joyous blessing in 2020, and I want to enjoy a little bit more of the festive praise. Any friends in the house? Festive. I want some festive praise instead of despair. I've had enough of that, and I've had enough of that, and I want more of this, and I want more of that, and I want more of that. Any friends out there today? That's what I want in 2020. I want some joy up in my world. Thank you for those three people that clapped. Don't underestimate the nature and the power of joy and laughter. Here's a great quote. It says this: it's not the load that breaks you down, it's the way you carry it. It's not the load that breaks you down, it's the way you carry it. You're going to carry a load, and you are carrying a load today. Some of you only just made it through the door. You're carrying the weight of the world. Jesus told us that we're not meant to carry the burdens. He is. And he said, let's have an exchange, your burden for mine. My burden is light. Let me take your tiresome, wearisome, burdensome burden that you are only just managing to stand up under. Let me carry that for you. So how we carry the load matters. I mean, safety inspectors and all of that in workplaces today, they're all over you about how you carry things and bending your knees and wearing back braces and carrying the load appropriately so that you don't damage yourself. Here's the thought. When we don't carry ourselves well with the responsibilities we have in life, we can damage ourselves, but not only ourselves, we put people around us in danger. And so carrying the load, the way you carry it, because you will carry it, the way you carry the load of life determines how you enjoy the journey of life. How you carry it makes all the difference. So don't let the journey, the load you carry, overwhelm you. God is your strength and you are stronger and better than you think you are. You can carry more. You have a greater capacity than you imagine that you have, and you won't know and you don't know the capacity you have until the load is increased and the weight is increased on you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Get some joy up. Get some fun. Get some laughter. Get some joy in your life for 2020, and it will help you carry the load well. God never puts more on you than you can handle. Never. I love this thought from Nehemiah. We talked about it the other day. I've got to go there again because it's one of my themes and part of the culture of our church. In Nehemiah chapter 8, when they were rebuilding the city walls of Jerusalem after they'd been in exile for many, many years, Nehemiah came back with a dream to rebuild the city. They were halfway through the job. People were getting worn out. People were discouraged, and it was just not a good time. And so Nehemiah, as the leader, speaks to them and says, don't mourn and don't weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah said, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. Same thought as Solomon, rich food, sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared, because this is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want you to note, this command was given to the children of Israel at a time when they were trying to recover from being overcome by the enemy. Halfway through a building project, they were building and battling at the same time. Building the city, battling the enemy. And I said a few weeks ago, we're always building and we're always battling at the same time. We always have the load and we always have the vision working together. The weight of responsibility and the passion for a better future. That's the position they're in. But they were tired. They were demoralized. They were demotivated. They weren't carrying the load well while doing the work that God had given them to do. And so Nehemiah speaks to them and he gives them this order about being intentional about their joy. Being intentional about their joy. And he says to them this, today's a sacred day, not a solemn day. Sacred and solemn are two different things. A lot of people want to make church solemn, whereas God wants to make church sacred. Sacred is so far apart from solemn, it's not funny. Solemn is sad. Solemn is broken. Solemn is someone that is reduced to a position of powerlessness. Sacred is a posture of honor. Sacred is a posture of holiness. Sacred is a posture of joy and excitement and enthusiasm and empowerment and enablement. And so the people have been crying and they've been weeping as Nehemiah and Ezra the priest were reading the law of the Bible out to the people to try and inspire them. And he tells them, stop the crying, quit the mourning. Quit the grief. Let's get some happy. Let's get some joy up. Let's get some celebration. Let's get some food. Let's get some drinks. Let's get this party started. Let's encourage each other. Let's cheer each other on. Do you know, church was never meant to be a solemn place. It was never meant to be a solemn place. And Nehemiah tells us why. He says, we've got to do all this because the joy of the Lord, that's what gives you strength. There's no strength in sadness. There's no strength in sorrow. There's no strength in despair. There's no strength in discouragement. There's no strength in depression. Strength is found in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord will give you strength. It's the opposite of what religion wants to make us feel. It's the opposite of what religion wants to make us feel. See, religion wants to make us feel that the more solemn it is, the more spiritual it is. The more sad and quiet it is, the more spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about quiet or loud. It's just different. There's times to be quiet, to be still and know that He is the Lord. And then there's times to rejoice and praise and give a shout and a cry of victory. Religion wants us to think the more quiet and heavy burdened we are, the more spiritual we are. But Nehemiah, the great leader of Israel, he says the opposite. He says, no grieving today. Today's sacred. Today's the day to get some food on the table. Today's the day to have some drinks together. Today's the day to let's dance. Today's the day to let's give God a shout of praise. Now, why? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's sing. Let's sing. Let's praise. Let's worship. Let's get a new song. Let's enjoy ourselves. Let's enjoy each other's company. Let's get some laughter. Let's get some fun on. Because God loves to celebrate and loves His children and His church to celebrate. You know, celebration is part of heaven's culture. It's part of heaven's culture. It's how God wants the journey done. In the Old Testament, they had parties. They're called festivals. There were times when they gathered, the nation of Israel would gather for these public festivals that they would have and celebrations that they would have. They're mentioned in the book of Exodus, all the old books of the Bible in the Old Testament. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy and Numbers, the heavy books of the Old Testament. It mentions 29 times the thought of coming and gathering together as a nation to literally have this atmosphere of praise and worship and feasting and partying and honoring and remembering God and celebrating with each other. It involved singing, it involved dancing and food and family and friends, where people celebrated the goodness and the greatness of God and the favor and blessing of God. And the church needs to capture that spirit, because the church is not meant to be a solemn place. It's meant to be a sacred place where we celebrate the goodness and the greatness of God, and we do the journey with food, and we do the journey with drinks. We include other people, those that have nothing. It's where everyone can come and everyone can participate, where we cheer each other on. And sometimes I think in my mind and in my heart, in terms of the church, that we got it oh so wrong. And I keep asking myself this question: how do we take something that was intended to be so magnificent and make it so miserable? Sometimes I'm sure God looks at it and thinks, that's nothing like what I thought it would be. It's not what I imagined. I never imagined the church to be that. Life abundant. No burden. Stop the crying and the weeping and start the dancing and bring on the praise and put a new song in your heart. I hear God shouting that from the heavens. Get your joy. Get your joy. Get your joy. Get your joy out. So we need to celebrate. Celebrate with food. We do that as a church. We love that as a church. We do food everywhere we go. We do food with every meeting we have. We share hospitality with others. We cheer teams on. We want our teams to enjoy being on teams. We have praise where we engage with our praise. You don't just sit there and listen to a team on stage. It's not what it is. It's not a show. It's not a show. It's interactive. It's engagement. It's participation. When the preacher preaches, we cheer him on. We cheer her on. We cheer on the preaching of God's word. It's not something you weep about. It's something you cheer on. You cheer on. They wept over it in Nehemiah's and Nehemiah. Cut it out. Stop that. It's not a time to cry. This is a time to cheer. This is a time to enjoy and celebrate. You know, laughter and joy and happiness and fun are spiritual. They are a celebration of life. Research shows us and tells us that there's many good benefits in terms of enjoying fun and laughter and joy and increasing that in your life. Research, the experts, they tell us it's actually good for us to live that way and not to be so serious about the way we do life. It reduces your blood pressure, makes your heart pump better and stronger. It works your ab muscles. How's that? You can work out without even going to the gym. Works your ab muscles, just having a good belly laugh. Some of us obviously need more laughs. And we can work out our abs while just having a little bit of fun. It reduces the stress hormones and it releases the happy ones in your head. It releases endorphins, the happy drug. It creates an overall sense of well-being and good feeling. You feel better when you laugh, and it releases tension. Turn to your neighbor and say, you just need to laugh. You need to laugh, seriously. You need to find something funny and laugh. Get some fun happening through you and some fun happening to you. There's great benefits in making it fun. Not only is fun spiritual, not only should fun be intentional, but fun is also highly relational. It's highly relational. What I mean by that is fun brings people together. People just want to have fun. And it brings people together. People gather around fun because everybody innately loves fun. We're built to love it. We're drawn to it. It's something very relational about having fun. Whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're single again, fun makes your life better. Fun will make your life better. So fun, joy and laughter, they're contagious. And so what we need to do is replace the worry with joy. Replace the worry with joy, because joy will add strength to every relationship you have. Every relationship you have will be better with some joy and some fun. And joy, here's the best part, it'll make you fun to be around. I want to be fun to be around. I want to be fun to be around. I know there's times when I'm not fun to be around, but I want to be fun to be around. I don't want to be that grumpy father. I don't want to be that grumpy grandfather. I don't want to be that grumpy husband. I don't want to be that grumpy leader. I don't want to be that grumpy pastor. That's why I bought a Mini Cooper S. It was fun for about 24 hours, Merv. Seriously. You know, the truth is, people want to be around you when you're joyful. So I want to look around and see people around me. And when they're not there, where are they? Well, they're not around me for a good reason. I'm no fun to be around. I'm a no-fun zone. I don't want to be a no-fun zone. And neither do you. So we want to lift the fun. You know, our teams in church, teams are more productive when it's fun. I've noticed that. There's less turnover when it's fun. And people want to be on the fun team. No one wants to be on the boring team. And so every leader in the house needs to take a good long look at themselves and get their fun face on. If you know a leader in this place and they don't have their fun face on, walk up to them and say, get your fun face on. See how that works for you. Get your fun face on. Hey, it's fair to say it, isn't it? It's fair to say it. It's like, get your fun face on. And I think sometimes you've just got to have that conversation with yourself primarily, but then also with those that you're in relationship with. Just say, get your fun face on. They can't argue with that. They may try. But just get your fun face on. Fun is relational. Not only is fun relational, finally, and you all said thank God for that, fun is attractional. Something very attractive about fun. Something very attractive about fun people and joyful people and people that enjoy a good laugh. Solomon noted it. He said, there's nothing better. There's nothing better in life than for people to have fun while doing the hard work God has called them to do. I've resigned myself to the fact that what I do is going to be hard work for the rest of my life. So it's going to be hard work. So I want to enjoy it. Yeah. I don't want to make it a drudgery. I don't want to make it a drudgery for you. I don't want to be that kind of church. I don't want to be boring. I don't want to be that serious always person. There are times when I'm serious. You'll see it in my eyes. Look at me. You'll notice, but I want to lift my joy. It's written on the back wall. Everyone turn around, have a look. That's there for me. It's just there for me. Joy. That one is there for you. It means you've got to love me. That one there is for the person sitting next to you. Peace out. Peace out. Nothing better, said Solomon, than having fun while doing the work that God has assigned us to do. You know, in church, there's nothing better than having fun while serving and doing the hard work that God has assigned us to do. Nothing better than to have fun while you're doing it, because sometimes it's way too serious. Sometimes churches are way too serious. Sometimes Christians are way too serious. Sometimes leaders are way too serious. Sometimes pastors are way too serious. And sometimes I am way too serious. And so I've come back to what the angel said when Jesus was born, and we talked about it over Christmas, where the angel said this: I bring you good news that will be great joy for all the people. And I've come back to that message because I think I missed it. I got Jesus, but I left the great joy away. And I want to get my joy back. And I want to get my joy to a whole new level. And I want to get my fun face on. So you might be in a struggle right now. Having fun does not mean you're not having struggles. Having a laugh does not mean it's not hard. In actual fact, some of the people that laugh the most are people that carry the heaviest loads. Because it helps us unwind. And it helps us cope. You may be struggling in your family, your relationships, your health, your life, or your money. You may be facing issues and challenges that are oppressing you and opposing you. But my guarantee is this, is if you lock onto and lean into the joy that God has in store for you, it'll move you towards the blessing and the favor and the goodness of God. Because God's joy always lifts us, it always strengthens us, it always enables us, it always empowers us. God's joy is our strength, is what Nehemiah says. Life presses us, life depresses us, but God's joy lifts our hearts and lifts our spirit. So keep it joyful, make it joyful, give life and full life to joy. Give your life to pursuing a life of joy and a life of fun. So it's time to joy up, people. Turn to your neighbor and say, joy up. Come on, joy up. Joy up in 2020. Give that thought some energy. Give it some passion. Keep a song in your heart. Get a new song in your heart. Give God all the praise that He deserves. Your joy is contagious. Your joy is attractive. Your joy is inspiring. Your joy is motivating. Your joy attracts others to be a part of what you are joyful about. Nobody is attracted to a funeral. I can tell you now, nobody is attracted to churches that behave like they're having a funeral. They are attracted to joy. They're attracted to things that glow, things that light up. They're attracted to people that they're drawn to because they want to be like them. And we live in a world that's heavy and burdensome and challenging and difficult. And I think our world needs to see good samples and examples of what it is to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. You know, as a church, we decided many, many years ago that we would be a church that celebrates. We just made that decision. We were going to celebrate no matter what. No matter what happens, we were going to celebrate. We were going to make that part of our culture. That we would have a culture of hospitality in everything that we do. That's why we do food so well. That's why it's such a priority. That's why it's so important, because it helps people connect and engage and celebrate together. You put food on the table, everything's good. Like when I go home this afternoon, food will be on the table. I'll forget about the mini for about 10 minutes. Food on the table makes it good. Helps people get involved. We decided we'd be generous. We decided we'd be lavish in all of our presentations and everything that we do. We decided we'd be generous in gestures towards other people. We'd put a smile on our face. We'd help put a smile on theirs, was what we decided. We decided we'd be welcoming and friendly. We decided that everybody is loved, wanted, and belongs, is what we decided. We decided we'd be a house that's full of celebration and praise. We work hard, but we have fun, was what we decided. We decided we'd smile, we'd hug, we'd connect, we'd engage, we'd have open hearts, open hands, and open homes. But my confession to you is, at times, tough seasons have jaded that joy. Because that's what they do. They jade the joy. And when joy is jaded, you've got to up it. And joy up. And make an intentional decision. You know, at times it's been burdensome and difficult and overwhelming. And at times it's become a drudgery. And at times there's been grief and sorrow and loss and heartache and pain. Because that's life. Read Solomon's writings. That's what he talks about, the journey of life. The good, the bad, the ugly. But I stand before you today like Nehemiah. And I've come to make a declaration. And that declaration is, today is not a day to be grieving. Today is not a day to cry. Today is not a day of sorrow. 2020, this new decade, it's a year to see, as the pun has already been used, more clearly. More clearly. So I declare a sacred season, not a solemn season. I declare celebration. I declare joy. And I declare an intentional process of joy up for all of us. And I declare that the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where our strength is in the joy of the Lord. So nothing and nobody and no season is going to steal my joy. It's my declaration. I declare a new day, a new season, a new beginning, a new you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to meet that new person with their fun face on. So make it fun, people. Make it fun. Own the fun. I want to ask you today, will you help us be that church? Will you help us be that? Because that's the church that we are. That's the church that we will be. That's the church we will fight for and battle for. And that's the church that we will build. So if you want to suck lemons, this is not the place for it. Okay? Lemonade is good. Lemons are not. Because lemonade has sugar in it. And you just need a little bit of sugar to sweeten up your life. So, will you engage to help us build that? Will you battle for that? Will you fight for that? I can just imagine Nehemiah's team and Nehemiah's people, the children of Israel, building and battling on those walls. And when they read out the law and they're all crying, he says, now stop it, party. And they have this party and celebration and the festivities begin. The strength returning to the people. And it's the joy, he says, of the Lord that is your strength. And I think it's the joy of the Lord that returns our strength as we come into a new year. So my encouragement is don't miss out on the life God has for you, the abundant life that he has for you because of the load you carry. I know it's heavy. I know it's hard. I know life is challenging and difficult and hard, but God is good. God is good. And Jesus did not come to make our lives miserable and sad. It's not his plan. It's not his thing. It's not his doing. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. So have it. Can I have our team come to stage? Why don't you give the Lord a hand this morning? Come on, give the Lord a hand. Receive his word today. Get some fun back. Get some fun up. Oh, that's a good thought. I'm going to love playing with this over the next few weeks. So that's the thought we're going to deal with is make it fun. Make it more fun in 2020. Would you stand to your feet with me, please? I want to pray for you today. We're going to have communion and share that at the conclusion of our service. But I just want to pray for everybody today because I know in all the frivolity of what we have talked about today and the nature of this, I know there's a lot of there is a lot of responsibility that we carry. There's a lot of heaviness. There's a lot of burdensome responsibilities and circumstances and situations we have. And I don't want to be flippant about that. I want to pray for you today. Would you reach out your hand, everybody today? Reach out your hand. Lift your hand up to heaven today and just own this prayer. Father, we thank you for a new day. We thank you for a new year that we've entered into. We're glad to have said goodbye to 2019 and here we are in 2020. And our declaration is today that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and so we're going to choose joy. We're going to choose joy in spite of every circumstance, season or situation that we find ourselves in. We're going to be intentional about it. Not just joy that happens to us, but joy that happens through us. We understand today joy is spiritual. We understand it's relational and we understand it's attractional. It helps us build and it helps us fight better when we enjoy the journey. Father, I pray, help us to carry the load. Help us to carry the load. We're not wanting to avoid the work. We're not wanting to minimize the responsibilities we carry. The pressures of life, you're here to help with all of that. You're here to help with all of that. You said your burden is light and ours is heavy, so to let you carry it. And so help us to cast our cares upon you, our worries, our anxieties, our stresses to you, and refuse to carry it in our bodies where it affects our health, our emotions, our state of being. And help us to to be lighter. Help us to get our fun face on and enjoy life. Is what I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. We're going to sing this song, Waymaker, as we distribute the communion emblems today. Why don't you take the emblems and just hold them ready to partake together at the conclusion of the song.